Hello. Welcome to this week's New Covenant Fellowship virtual worship service. My name is Caroline Helton, and I am sitting in my unseasonably cool backyard today for this welcome. Renee shared that today we're talking about why New Covenant Fellowship, why get together, why this community in particular, and I'm sure that all of you have your own reasons for that. Personally, I have a few reasons why I like being a part of this community and continue to choose to be a part of it. Right now, there have been a lot of hard decisions for me to make in terms of who I spend my time with and how frequently and in person with my daughter or not. My daughter Birdie is 15 months old, so she doesn't really have the options of wearing a mask to protect herself or getting a vaccine to protect herself. So these past few months when people are making decisions about whether to get a vaccine and whether to follow the masking guidelines based on their vaccine status, we just depend on other people to make those good decisions and protect her. So as I look ahead to getting back together with folks from New Covenant, the decision was actually pretty simple. Of course I'm going to get together with all of you. I'm so looking forward to our gathering on June 6th in the park. And some people might say, well, why was that such an easy decision? Well, I joined New Covenant about 7 years ago, and I had just come from pretty much a lifetime of being a part of big church communities with lots of money and resources and flashy lights. And what I loved about New Covenant was that the thing that I noticed first was how much people cared about one another. And that was something new from communities I'd been a part of in the past. It's not really hard to find communities or organizations that look out for their own. A lot of human resources research is dedicated to how important it is to looking out for your employees. And it's no secret that if you want to maintain a business, you've got to look out for your constituents or your customers or whatever you want to call them. But at New Covenant, we don't just look out for one another. We look out for everyone. We really have taken it seriously when Jesus said to look out for the least of these, the down and outs. And you know, New Covenant doesn't even only look out for the least of these. We get involved in our community in really important ways here in Champaign-Urbana and also around the United States and even around the world. And that's made it a really easy decision for me to get together with you all. You've got this lifetime of obvious care for others, looking out for one another. So I know that when it comes time to be safe and look out for our community and do what's best for us, I know that you'll do that. And I'm so excited to be with you all again. So this past year and a half or so has also, it's been tough, but it's also brought some really cool outcomes. We've been able to connect with people who normally wouldn't be able to participate in our services. I've loved getting to put faces and voices to names that I've heard during my time here of people who helped start New Covenant or were a part of it for a brief time while they were in grad school but have since moved on. I've also loved hearing the voices of people who I've known who were here and have had to move on. People I miss dearly and love to see that they're still a part of our family, even though they're many, many miles away. But there's a lot to be said for coming together, being with one another. I realized recently that I don't really talk to a lot of people anymore. Sure, I have Zoom meetings for work and phone calls with students, but I don't really talk much about my life with a lot of people. A lot of people don't get bored of me telling stories of Birdie, my daughter. The fact that she's only in the third percentile of her weight, but she eats the most of anyone in her class at daycare. One time I sent 3 days worth of snacks and she ate all of them in one day. And you haven't been able to see me pull out my smartphone and have her reach for it and say Elmo, because she assumes that the primary function of a smartphone is to play Sesame Street. And I haven't gotten to hear from a lot of you about your children or grandchildren, about your successes, gains, losses, about your experiences with God. Gosh, the people I talk to about my faith are even fewer. I don't know that I talk to anyone about my faith right now. So I miss you all. I miss talking to you and seeing your faces and seeing the excitement that you have for life and for what God is doing. And I'm so excited that some of us will get together on June 6th and continue to care for one another. The song, I Need You to Survive, has been playing in my mind a lot as I look forward to that day. It's true. I need you all to survive, and I know that we need one another in community. So I'd love to hear from you. Why New Covenant? Why get together? Do you have my cell number? You can text it to me or send an email. I'm on the contact list. Or even if you follow New Covenant on social media, comment on there. Let's share with one another. I'm excited to hear your perspectives.
Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come let us sing.
Come let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought peace.
If he brought peace.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought joy.
If he brought joy.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought love.
If he brought love.
And he put laughter in my soul. Ha 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 ha.
This is Brian Mustaine reading Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord our God, Hosanna.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marty Shupak. My wife, Diana, and I live in Alexandria, Virginia. This is a reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. There is freedom.
Hello, New Covenant family. This is Susan Becker, and I'm going to be reading John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, and verses 13 through 17. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
Hello, New Covenant family spread around the world. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, and I am excited and grateful to contemplate together the why of who we are and how that informs the decisions we make as individuals, groups, and families, and the community of New Covenant, both local and beyond. As we tentatively, hopefully, begin to emerge from this pandemic, there are still so many choices we are weighing. How do we make these decisions? Do we base them on the CDC guidelines? On a survey of how people feel? Do we move ahead at the rate of the most cautious person in our family or the most bold? Where do we allocate our creative energy and our finances? To online ministry, to in-person fellowship, to building needs? Do we wait for a vision or a prophecy or follow the majority of churches around us? To make these decisions, we return to our sense of mission, calling, identity, the why of who we are. So before we go any further, let's pray. Lord, our life, our hope, our whole selves are in you. Lead us, guide us, inspire us to follow where you lead. And may the faithfulness of Jesus carry us through to be our righteousness and our salvation. Amen. Why New Covenant? What makes us who we are as a particular fellowship in this time, in this town? As followers of Jesus, we interpret the Hebrew Bible and the Christian scriptures as our guiding words, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us into the new truths that Jesus promised, depending on our community to embody together the church. And each of us must have asked ourselves during this extended isolation, when many churches have been online only, why bother? Why listen or watch? Is there a reason to reopen, to gather again when this is over? What will get us out of our PJs to walk, bike, or drive to a building for worship? At New Covenant, in addition to Scripture and the created world and the wisdom of generations of faithful followers that we depend on for guidance, we also look to the visual expression of artists in our midst to articulate our identity in images that reflect our theology and our understanding of mission, who we are called to be as individuals in community. So instead of a three-point sermon, which I don't do anyway, today's teaching focuses on three installations by artists in our fellowship at various points in New Covenant history as visual representations of who we are, what we believe, and why we do what we do. The first image, titled The Body of Christ, by Christopher Evans in 1997, is printed on today's bulletin and hangs in the entry of our building on Randolph and White as the first piece of art we see from the street and the last image we face as we leave the building. This composite drawing of individuals worshiping at New Covenant 25 years ago continues to powerfully express who we are, even though many have passed on to other places on heaven, in heaven and on earth. These are real, recognizable people whose idiosyncrasies, gifts, and weaknesses are alive in our memories. They are not generic humans, ideal in their abstract, uniform in unknown personality, perfectly reflecting the nature of God. No, they are flawed, beautiful individuals who drove us crazy with love and irritation at their differences, held together by our common commitment. New Covenant is an amazing and strange collection of folks who would not be caught socializing together but for our passion for God's love of the world in Jesus that continues through us. This individuality is celebrated without idealism, knowing that we will not all agree. Uniformity is not our goal. We do not have a creed to recite. We do not have official membership, nor do we sign a list of beliefs. If someone were to draw each member of our congregation now, in our specific place and time together comprising a new image of the body of Christ, our individuality and our collective reflection of being the face of Jesus in our world would be different, but remain true. How does this visual representation of New Covenant guide our current decisions? Together, in all our differences and individual gifts and personalities, we join to become the face of Jesus to our community and our world. So when we consider our possible responses to any question of action, we must measure it against this image of who we are and who we are called to be. Will this decision be the face of Jesus in our world? Does it respect or acknowledge the individual differences of those who make up our fellowship? Are we representing Jesus as a whole, with space for each of us within it to be our unique selves and express a particular aspect of God's identity in us? Will this decision cultivate care for the individuals in our fellowship who with us make up the body of Christ in the world? During the pandemic, how have we been the face of Jesus? How did we attend to the individuals in our fellowship? As a whole, our decision to continue to host the women's shelter in our building was one of our major ways of being an expression of Jesus to our community. We also increased our funding to other local needs through our Missions, Mercy, and Justice budget and funneled our ministry development money into the Champaign County Christian Health Center. Our family fund increased its reach by leveraging all of the Everence matching grant funds to disperse to urgent needs of our extended family. For those walking by the building, as many people pass our windows in our downtown location, we posted the weekly bulletins with the teaching and order of service, inviting anyone to join in virtual space. We uploaded over 100 worship songs for listening by friends and strangers near and far. Our online services have been a reflection of this wider, extended family of New Covenant throughout the world. Each week is made up of so many different voices: singing, reading scripture, praying, welcoming, blessing, teaching. Why do we do it this way? Why not one pastor, one worship leader, one elder doing a live broadcast service like other churches? Practical reasons aside, that's not us. We are a community, and we want to hear as many voices of our fellowship leading us into worship as possible. Because we are the church, not the building, not a charismatic pastoral personality, not the rock band worship, not the fabulous programs, but the individual people who together contribute to the whole. In our differences, some people have loved and preferred online worship and Zoom fellowship over our in-person services and socializing. The flexibility to listen wherever, whenever, as many or as few times as needed, has been a huge gift. Meanwhile, some of us cannot even force ourselves to listen. We skip parts, we skip the whole thing. We become disconnected from the message and the community. We are disembodied, tragically separated, slowly atrophying. How do we attend to these very different needs of our community, each important and valuable, all parts of the whole which make us the body? Recognizing our imperfections, that God blesses efforts, not just results, that we cannot please everyone, and that each person's needs are important. We will return to in-person worship on June 13th, while continuing to create online services. Both. And. We will experiment with, quote, first Sunday flipped fellowship this summer, meeting outdoors once a month at different parks. What is flipped? Flipped is that the time slot we would traditionally spend singing and listening to a sermon will instead be outdoors, in-person, social contact, doing the stuff that Caroline talked about in the welcome, connecting. On those first Sundays, the service will be online only for listening before or after our traditional 10:30 to noon Sunday time slot. Complicated? A little bit. Will it be the same as before? No. Can we embrace change and flexibility? I hope and believe so. Why? Because this reflects the image of the body of Christ, composed of real individuals with differing needs and gifts, and that is who we are. Intensely local and spread around the world, connected, committed, and distinct. Together, the face of Jesus doing our piece of the work of God that has been given to us. In person, online, inside, outside, in the building, out at a park. not because we can do it all. We clearly can't. But there is freedom in our identity to try new things while holding on to the pieces that anchor us. The second installation by an NCF artist that expresses our beliefs in vivid color is the sculpture that defines the northwest corner of our sanctuary. Laura Wenstrom's 2015 Master of Fine Arts final project, entitled Mass, captures our attention from the doorway, drawing children and adults to touch and enter. It is our Dr. Seuss bridge, a tactile expression of our BRIDGE acronym of words to describe our mission, long enough ago that I had to look them up to remind me and to confirm whether they continue to express who we are and why we do what we do. Yes, vibrantly. B is for biblical, seeking to understand God's love and pursuit of people throughout time. In the Hebrew Bible and Christian scriptures, the historical and living and active through the Holy Spirit's revelation today. We are relational, learning how to be family together with Jesus, loving God and loving neighbor. The I is for intergenerational, building relationships across age groups through worship and service. The D for doing justice, recognizing and challenging sinful systems that divide us. G is for giving freely, sharing our time, talents, and resources. And the E for embracing diversity, welcoming all identities to worship and serve together. The Mass sculpture both challenges and articulates our vision of bridges. It is like no other bridge we have seen, reaching out in all different directions, connecting disparate parts, colorful, unique, loud, and soft at the same time. This is God's love for us and through us. This is our community, each part important and vital to the whole. How does it come together as a beautiful symphony rather than a cacophonous clanging? Only the author, God, the artist of all artists, the maker of all makers, the mystery that inspires all mysteries, knows. We are humbled, awed, excited, invigorated, and grateful to be part of this sculptural work. It is fitting that the installation of the Mass sculpture happened during the time of the Sticky Scriptures series, when we were exploring the path, the bridge, to full welcoming inclusion of our LGBTQ family. We each have a place in this sculpture, all of us belonging in this space, no matter how different or far out from the center we might feel. There are multiple points where we are anchored, holding up the whole. While there is room for movement within the space, for changes and additions and loops and swaggers, and when one part gets pulled down, as it inevitably does, disengage from the mooring, detach from the ceiling, we reattach it with love, perhaps at a new point, perhaps after reinforcing the anchor from which it was pulled. We repair it. How does this representation of New Covenant inform our next steps, the choices we made during the pandemic, and the decisions we are making now? Reflecting on today's readings, I find it a fitting description of John 3:17, that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. There is not condemnation in this sculpture of the world or of us as individuals. Our calling is not to condemn the actions of our fellow citizens, of our elected officials, of other nations, not because we and they are not sinful or that our systems are not sinful, they are, but because the work of God through Jesus, through us in the world, is a work of redemption and salvation. That is the work we are called to. It is a work of repentance, of turning, of changing hearts and lives. Not to make us all look the same, but to reflect the joy and beauty and individuality that contributes to the love of the whole. The third art installation that articulates our identity as New Covenant is the fabric quilt-like composition of joined hands of various colors that is our focal point at the back of the stage in front of the baptistry. Susan Becker's vision for this piece guided her work and that of many helping hands to pull it together just a couple years ago. The Romans passage that Marty read today of us being adopted, heirs, children of God, called into a new life together is beautifully expressed here. When I think about the Champaign County Christian Health Center and our reparations conversations and the way we allocate a third of our income to ministries of justice and mercy, this focal image articulates the why of those decisions, the love of neighbor as ourselves that Jesus taught as the second greatest commandment of the Torah is showcased here. This is our current focus, so it is no surprise that it is our most recent installation and the center of our vision in the sanctuary. On my walk today, before the final edit and recording of this teaching, I was thinking about another why. Why is this important now to articulate who we are, why we're here, as individuals and as New Covenant? And I realized that June 1st, tomorrow, for most of you listening on Sunday morning, marks 5 years of me being pastor at New Covenant. What the future has in store, none of us knows. But I am grateful to be part of the fabric that makes up this whole and to look ahead together as the Lord leads us forward. Likely, of these three artistic representations of New Covenant's why of identity and mission, one of these images resonates with you more than the others. Given our differences, that is no surprise. But I do hope that thinking about them, contemplating them, gives you a richer understanding of our community and calling, particular to New Covenant. Here in this time and place, but also spread throughout the world. God's work in creation, in humanity, is intensely specific to individuals in their culture and time, while also extending throughout the whole earth for the redemption and salvation of the world. As we seek to understand and live into our particular identities, as individuals and as members of this community and as the body of Christ in the world, may creation, scripture, music, art, and the words and actions of our brothers and sisters speak the truth of God's love of the world to us and through us. Amen.
Being built into a temple fit for God's own dwelling place, into the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth, as precious stones that Jesus owns. As we learn to love and trust each other, hallelujah, so the building grows and grows. We are being built into a temple. God's own dwelling place. Into the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth. As precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by his wondrous grace. And as we learn to love and trust each other, hallelujah, so the building grows and grows. We are being built into a temple fit for God's own dwelling place. Into the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of truth. As precious stones that Jesus owns, fashioned by his wondrous grace. And as we learn to love and trust each other, each other, hallelujah, so the building grows and grows.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied of your way. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. thank you. one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
Morning, New Covenant. This is Vaughn Ortiz.
And Tim Clark.
We're doing today's benediction. Holy, holy God, in calling forth creation from the void, revealing yourself in human flesh, and pouring forth your wisdom to guide us, you manifest your concern for your whole universe.
You invite us as your people to gather the world's needs into our hearts and bring them before you.
Fill us with your strength and courage,
with discernment and compassion,
that we may be your instruments of justice and love in this world,
that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you.